Hey, welcome to the Faith NFM podcast. We appreciate your time today, and we encourage you to head on over to faithnfm.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links to all that's happening around Faith Assembly. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
You know, I'm very privileged, I say this quite often, to pastor this church, to be a part of its legacy, its 90 years legacy, coming up in October, and we're going to throw a party. It's going to be awesome. But I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a special someone, and that's my wife. She's amazing. Her name is Brittany. It's actually her birthday today. Yeah. She sat in first service and said the preaching was so good, she's skipping and hanging out in the lobby right now. You know what I'm saying? But no, wish her a happy 21st birthday. It's awesome, you know? Like, do me a little favor, you know what I'm saying? And, whew, yeah. But yeah, thanks again for being a part. Thanks again for just hanging out with us on a Sunday and celebrating, praising the glorious God, our Father. How many of us know in life, a lot of the battles that we have faced, often are battles people cannot see, or often some things happening up here in our minds, are issues we're struggling with that people don't recognize, people can't tell, people are like, are you really having that issue? Because on the outside, we might look confident, but on the inside, we might be overwhelmed with so much insecurity. On the outside, we might look like we have all the answers, but in life and looking at their current situation, we are lost. On the outside, in our lives, we might look strong and put together and have everything going, but really, man, if someone knew what was taking place in your mind, man, you'd feel weak, crippled, burdened. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? About 2 years ago, for a pastor, for a preacher, we always have this joke with guys that all the bad news always seems to happen on the weekends. Like, it's just par for the course. I got news about 2 years ago that, man, this could be my mom's final week. 2 years ago, I remember stepping in the pulpit, smiling, saying, God loves you, God cares for you, preaching, but on the inside, man, I was out. I was blistered. I was hurt. I was struggling. I was saying, God, really? Like, can't even have one final conversation with the closest lady in my life. And about a year ago, same thing weekend, got some news. People always ask us, well, why did you want four children? They like look at us all funny. You got four kids? I'm like, yeah, have you seen my wife? You know, like, woo, can't keep my hands off. All right, you know, it's church. We can talk like this. But really, we never thought about having baby number four until she miscarried baby number four. Saturday, Sunday preaching. I get emotional on it in those different times because there's a lot of times that you're going through something, you're struggling with something. On the exterior, you look fine. On the inside, in the mind, the battle is raging on. See, this is a church where you can be real, you can be your authentic self, that no matter what you face, no matter what takes place in your life, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what you're processing, no matter what you're wrapping your mind around, this is a place where we can be real and say, hey, God, we need your help. God, we need your glorious power, your majesty at work in our lives because we want to live for the best possible call of God on our lives that you've instilled and placed in our lives. And so we believe that this is this kind of place. This is the church we foster. And we're going to be looking today as we continue our series, Calm in the Chaos, when this navigating these mental battles, these anxieties, these stressors of life, how do we handle that? How do we do that? How do we deal with that? How can I remain calm? How can I have peace? How can I have stillness when it seems like the world is chaotic, when my mind is everywhere? So we're going to continue our series, Calm in the Chaos, how God walks alongside us as we battle life's fears and life's anxieties. I'm going to invite you, join me, Philippians chapter 4. It's a theme verse for us. We have a saying around here that if you read, write, and recite, you're better to retain what you learn and what we discuss today, because we don't want to just be a great church in here or a great church on Sunday morning. We want to be the church outside of these walls. So that's why we say, take some notes, read your word, get in what God has in store for you. So join me. We're looking at Philippians chapter 4. Paul is writing this in a jail cell, sitting along, writing to his friends in Philippi. And he writes these words when he's been chained to a Roman officer, when he doesn't know the outcome of his life. He doesn't know if he's going to be executed. He doesn't know if he's going to be released. He doesn't know. He has some uncertainties. He has some struggles. And he writes this final greeting, this final like, hey, you go get him, guys. I'm feeling okay. And this is what he says. In a dire situation, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. You're kidding me. Paul, you're telling us not to be anxious. Do you know what's happening in my life? Paul's like, I'm sitting in jail. Like, don't worry, you'll be all right. Like, you'll make it through. But he goes, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, by prayer and petition, that whatever anxieties, whatever chaos is taking place in your life, how you're going to be able to pray through it all. By prayer and petition. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That is huge for us. Oftentimes, we want understanding, and then I'll have peace. God brings peace that transcends our humanity's knowledge or intellect. Church, you got to get clear on that, because the world says that you need to know everything, have the T's crossed, I's dotted, everything figured out. God's saying, you want peace? You ain't going to find it in the world. My peace transcends everything. Paul is noting that his peace comes from God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I mentioned earlier, I don't know what you've walked into this room with. I don't know what you're facing with, if you're online, whatever you're dealing with. But we're going to do something right now. It's a little out of the ordinary. But a lot of us have battles. I saw a lot of heads shake up and down. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to enter into a moment of prayer. But if you have a battle taking place in your life, you have some war raging on in your life, something going on in your mind, you have a fear, you have an anxiety taking place, and you need prayer, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. No one's going to come by. No one's going to come touch you. But this is what I want you to do. I want everybody to look around, those hands raised. You're looking around, those hands raised. I want you to put a connection point with some of those hands raised. Now we're going to pray. We're going to do what Paul told us to do. Prayer and petition our Heavenly Father. Let's do that. Let's call on God right now, right where you're seated at. God, right now we worship you. We praise you. You see each and every hand that was raised. Lord, we pray that you intervene, that your glorious will be done in our lives. God, if it is a financial burden, ease those burdens. God, if it's a relationship that needs to be restored or removed, do what you think needs to be done. God, if it's a marriage that needs to be saved, save that marriage. God, if it's a child that needs to come back, that prodigal child, Lord, we pray for a redemptive work. Lord, whatever need is in this place right now, whatever need is online, we are calling on you right now to do what you can do. And by your holy name, Jesus, we all say, amen. Amen. Paul says, pray. Petition to pray. Thing is, a lot of times, We want to pray and we want the certain answers. Pray through anxiety. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Are you kidding me? How can I not be anxious about some of the things I'm dealing with in life? In fact, what is anxiety? It's a complicated question. It's a complicated short answer. It's this idea, it's feeling the dread, fear, uneasiness of life that is coming your way. We can experience anxiety through a lot of different ways. Is it physiological? Is it emotional? Is it situational? Whatever fear you have, whatever stress you have, anxiety you have, we can agree with it when it comes around the worries of life. It is always spiritual. Anxiety is always a spiritual element, a spiritual issue that needs to be addressed. Now, May is the Mental Health Awareness Month. I don't know if you've seen the commercials. And I'm a pastor. I believe in a holistic teaching when it comes to mental health awareness. I believe there's different approaches that suit different people. Not, it's one thing fits everybody. I believe there's times where you need to see a doctor. I believe there's times someone needs to sit down with a counselor. I've done it 2-3 times, big times in my life. And I'm getting to a point with some of the things that I got swirling that maybe I just need to keep a counselor in my back pocket. I don't know if you've been there. But there's times where I would say that would be a great avenue for you when you are going through an anxious season of life. There's times where I would say you need to be medicated. You need to pursue that. Now, I do say this. Side note that I think that the world and culture has overused and abused this area, but I think for some people, this is an adequate response. I think sometimes when it comes to anxiety, when we're feeling so overwhelmed and burdened in life, it might be a diet issue. You got to change the way you eat. Maybe you got to do a little bit more walking. Maybe you need to hit the gym a little bit. But the holistic approach I want to talk to you about is the spiritual approach to when we are anxious in life. In all things, when anxiety strikes, when we're overcome with worry, what we need to do and ought to do is first pray. First pray. And today I'm going to be talking to you about how we're going to be praying through it all. And I want to address this. This is the area we're going to be focused on, the spiritual aspect of anxiety today. Because here's the thing, you don't want me to medicate you. If I do, I'll get a little loopy in here, you know? Like, woo, you know, like some of us will be like, hey, we're in for a good time, not a hard time, you know? But we're going to be talking about the spiritual aspect of anxiety. Each and every one of us kind of go through and navigate with culture knocking on our front door, raising kids in this kind of world. What do we do? How do we handle it? How do we navigate some of the life's difficulties? Anxiety gets a bad rap in the church. People don't want to talk about it. People don't often see the issues that are taking place. People don't see the battle that's raging in your mind. But I like to liken anxiety to the check engine light in your car. The check engine light comes on and says, you need to take that car back to the manufacturer. You need to take that car back to the dealer. You need to get it fixed. See, anxiety for us is a signal that it is alerting us that it is a time to pray. If there's something you're going to catch today, I want you to know this. Anxiety is a signal alerting you that it is time to pray. It is time for you to get back with your Creator. It is time for you to have a conversation. It is time for you to be restored, fixed, have your meeting with when it comes to your Creator. Jesus, that's what anxiety is doing. It is teaching us that something needs to get checked out. Is it a sin to feel anxious? People struggle with that. Like, I shouldn't feel this way. Paul just told me right there in Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious. And so we're like, oh, I can't be anxious. And then you're thinking in your mind, I'm still anxious and you're still struggling. And Paul, no. It's not a sin to be anxious. Jesus, some of his final moments before he goes to the cross, was so overwhelmed that his sweat turned to blood. So overwhelmed. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul puts it, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Every situation. I like this, like, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about in your life. If you're worrying about it, God wants to hear about it. Someone would pour this into me often. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. And I think it's important for us to understand that, because I think at moments we think we got to have this certain situation, this actual list that actually I can present to God. Oh, that's worthy enough. That's hard enough. That's a big enough struggle. No, we can come to God. We pray about everything, every situation. If it's a doctor's appointment, we pray. If it's a decision financially, we pray. If it's a decision with our kids, what teams to put them on, what extracurriculars to get them involved, what schools to attend, what do? We pray. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. As a pastor, I used to tell people all the time, and the more I'm into this role and step in and God's call my life, people would be like, Pastor Blake, I got a lot of worries. I'm struggling and I'm going through some things. And I would do the typical pastoral response, as many Christians do. Well, hey, I'm praying for you, or hey, you need to go pray about it. And you get that and you're like, oh, okay, so like I'm praying about it, like I'm still struggling and you're still kind of going through it. And sometimes maybe you grew up in the church. And when you pray, people around you are like, wow, that's amazing. Sometimes, like, I don't know if you've ever been on the other side of it. Me, when I pray, at times when I first started learning, it was like the old clunking car going down the street. Like, what is happening? Is this guy really talking? And then other people are these prayer ninjas where they're praying, and God is like, wow, that's a great prayer. Well done, buddy. You know, like, and I'm over here, like, I'm praying, all right, God, your boy down here, throw me a bone, my guy. I got some issues. Some of you are like, I prayed that prayer this morning. You're like, yeah. It came in this understanding that a lot of people don't even know how to pray. They struggle to know how to pray. They say, pray about it. I don't know how to pray about it. We don't want to admit we can't pray about it because we don't know how to admit a prayer. Praying is learned. Praying is something that you grow into, that you develop. It's a conversation. So this is the way I like to illustrate it. You know, we're in Florida. A lot of guys like to fish. I say like to fish. I didn't say like to catch. You know, come on. Like, you with me. Come on, fellas. I know you. I see you. I see those fish you buy from Publix. You know, like, so imagine going on a fishing trip. And you're going with your buddy in the car. He's driving, you're sitting passenger. You're talking about all things life. Hey, how's the family doing? What's going on? You're in a casual conversation. You're navigating things. You're just, oh man, I'm doing well here. Hey, life's good here. Man, I'm struggling with this. But this fishing trip, man, I needed this fishing trip because we're going to catch some things. This is like leading up to not catching anything. You know, like, this is a conversation, right? And you're just talking. That's the way you need to talk to God. That's the way you need to pray. God's in that for Jesus is taking the wheel. Jesus is leading, and you're just saying, hey, Jesus, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with some of these issues. I just need to lean into you. I need to pray. I just need to call on your name. Help me and just have a natural conversation. There's not a certain way you got to approach. It's all about just approaching. In the NIV translation that we just read says, present your request to God. The KJV, King James Version, says, let your request be made known. New Testament Greek scholars, whenever they would translate the Bible, they would do so almost word for word, for verbatim. The thing is with translations, there's many different Bible translations. We believe in a 66 closed book canon. Old Testament, New Testament. We don't add, we don't subtract. This is a Bible, is the infallible word of God. We don't shy away from that. We don't care what culture says. We don't care what the world says. I don't care what your mama says or your grandmother says. You know, the Bible is the Bible, and we're never going to doubt that, never going to stray away from that. We believe in its entirety of it. But a translation is written for people to understand God's word. So that means language shifts a little bit. And sometimes we get so caught up in the exact, precise language that we forget what is actually being communicated. For instance, you know, like, hey, you really have to think about when it comes to, like, King James Version. Like, I've met people, I know people, they're like, the King James Version of the Bible, that is the only Bible in all of existence. And I'm like, dude, I can't even read the King James Bible. How am I supposed to, and they're like, you got to, I'm like, we don't even speak the King James language. I'm like, thy brethren and thy whole is how, like, I don't even know how it comes off of my lips. And I struggle. And so when you say, like, hey, when he says, right, hey, I like to put it this way. In other words, when Paul writes, present your request to God. Let's make it simple for us. Something where us, you know, blue-collar people can understand us, where us people who are just salt of the earth, good people from Florida, let your needs be known to God. Let your needs be known to God. Talk to God in your way. That's what we say. Present your request. Talk to God in your way. Talk to God in your way. I'm a father of four, and each one of my children come to me in their own unique way. I got my oldest son. This is Bodie. He's 8 years old. Just turned eight a few weeks ago. He's in that missing the teeth, you know, phase. But he's my firstborn. My firstborn has a resume, kind of thing. And when it comes to, like, if he's gonna come to dad, this is what he does. He gets his room clean, brushes his teeth, gets dressed, fixes his hair. He even comes to dad. He's like, dad, I got to work out in the morning. He's like doing push-ups. He's doing sit-ups. He's reading his book. And he comes up to me. He's like, hey, dad, so could I get a new Xbox game? I'm like, dude, I'll hear you. Come on, man. Like, let's talk about it. Cool. Absolutely. This next one, this is my number two. This is Briar. This guy, there's going to be someone in ministry, it's going to be this guy, I'm thinking, no pressure there, it's a call, it's not a family business, it is a call, but he just has a way with people. In other words, he doesn't care about his resume, he doesn't care about the list of to-dos. He comes up to me, smiles just like that, he's like, dad, you look good today. Like, dad, I love you. Hey, dad, I'm going to give you a hug. Dad, can I sit on your lap? And I'm like, dude, I love you. Like, I love your little skinny body that I could just, And he's like, hey, dad, can I get an Xbox game? Absolutely, absolutely. And then I got this other one. Now, I ain't going to say she's my favorite, but she's my favorite. This is Blakely. Woo, she bossy. Dad, I want this. Done. You're my girl. You know, like, she approaches me that way. Love her. And then I got our last one. This is little baby Blue, 2 months. And you know how I know he wants something? He has something real simple. He cries. Wow, you know, like, I know he needs a diaper change, or I know he's hungry, right? Hey, Brittany, you know, like, kidding. That wasn't in the script. I'm in trouble. But here's my point. Each one of my kids approaches their father differently. My oldest comes in his manner. My second comes in his manner. My daughter comes in her manner. My youngest approaches me differently. If my oldest acted like my youngest, there would be an issue. If the middle two acted the same, there would be an issue. The point is, whenever we petition, whenever we pray God, you go to God in your way. God wants to have that relationship with you. God wants to see you where you're at. God doesn't want you to act like somebody you're not. God doesn't want you just to kind of go through the motions. God wants to know you. See, there's times when we need to approach God. How do we need to approach God? Approach God in your own unique way. There might be times you need to sing it, might be times you need to speak it, might be times you need to shout it, might be times when you need to pray to God and you just need to sigh it out. Maybe you need to approach God with anger, maybe you need to approach God with tears, excitement, joy. Go to God in your own unique way. See, your anxiety, when it is rising up, it is signaling you that you need to go to God in your own unique way. I like how Peter described it when his need for God, when he was anxious. And He's encouraging the church, the persecuted church. And he writes this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert, be of sober mind. And your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Humble yourselves. Last week, I shared a little bit about a few months of my life when things were out of sync, when I tried to do it all myself, when I tried to figure out my own schedule, navigate things my own way, handle things my own way. There's moments where I was just at my brink, at my limit, couldn't go any further, and it wasn't coming out in the right way. Have you ever been there? We've been depleted. Have you ever been there when you're up against the clock and you're ready to be done? Have you ever been there when you felt hopeless and you're just surviving, you're not thriving, and you're just living to see the next day? You ever been there? 1 Peter 5, 6 says this. He says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." I mean, like for myself, when I was going through these several months of when I was just trying to work harder, be better, do more, and yet it seemed like the gap I was failing kept growing and growing, and the pile kept piling and piling. I finally had to get to a point in my own life where God's saying, "God, I'm humbling myself before you. You do in me what you need to do, because I am lost. I cannot do it." I came to that point. Getting through it wasn't working. Doing my way wasn't working. I needed God to lift me up. Today is known as what we deem in church as Pentecost Sunday, meaning 50 days after Easter. 40 days, Jesus went in and out, had different encounters. And then the remaining 10 days before, after Jesus ascends to heaven, he leaves his church in limbo, not knowing what to do. He just says, "Wait." They're in the upper room, they're praying. And then the Holy Spirit shows up. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter's speaking, and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That Jesus gives us someone to comfort us, someone to guide us, someone to lead us, but another name for the Holy Spirit is a helper. That you and I, when we're trying to do it all by ourselves, when we're trying to handle it in our own ways, our own strategies, our own methods, there's going to be a breaking point where you cannot keep up, where you cannot measure up, where you just feel overwhelmed and anxious all the time. And God says, "Hold on, I want to give you my Spirit." Peter understood this. Peter lived this out. Peter saw it firsthand. See, in my life, I was trying to get things done, task, 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 production, production, production. Oh, I just got to get X, Y, and Z, dot the T's, cross the I's, get it all done. I'd wake up, try unhealthy times, trying to get things done. Finally, it came to a point like, "God, I can't do it. So before I'm going to work, I'm just going to pray. All right, God, I can't do it. I don't have direction. I don't know what decision. All right, you know what? I'm going to just read your word. God, I can't do it. I'm struggling to meet right people, be with friends, be with family. I feel like a lot of people I hang out with are kind of gnawing at me, and it's just kind of like there's some things that have been going on in my life. All right, Blake, are you around God's people? Are you celebrating God's church? Are you praising and worshiping 100%? See, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, "You can't do it on your own," but God comes and gives us his Holy Spirit to lead us every step of the way, to guide us, to help us. Peter got it. Peter understood it. Peter was this man that saw it firsthand. In Matthew chapter 14, we see Peter is walking on water. When Peter's walking on water, What's fascinating about the story, he sees Jesus far off. He calls out, "Is that you, Lord?" And Jesus says, "It's me." He's like, "Well, then let me get out of the boat." Peter asked to get out of the boat. A lot of times we skip that in that story. Peter asked to get out of the boat. And then, you know, imagine Peter's walking on water, like a miracle in itself. Then he starts seeing the winds and the waves and all this start blowing. And then after this, he starts to sink. Fear. See, a lot of times we feel like sinking is the end all. Sinking is the issue. Sinking isn't the issue. Sinking is the signal in life. Because what happens in the story when Peter, who is writing, says, "Hey, cast all your anxieties on God." What Peter does, he's sinking. Guess who he's close enough to? Jesus grabs him and lifts him up. And in other words, when you're sinking, are you living in close enough proximity to be lifted up? Or are you sinking and you're too far away because you've kind of given up? I see this time and time again. People are sinking in life, they don't get involved in church. People are sinking in life, they're not part of a faith group. People are sinking in life and they're struggling to make ends meet. People are going through some issues, but they're not giving God, living in proximity with God. They're pushing everything away. And yet the signal is saying, you need to lean into proximity. You need to lean into Jesus. You need to lean into who God is in your life. But a lot of times we sink and we're like, "Hey, you know what? I'm just going down." And then we go into this cycle of anxiety in life where we feel anxious. I'm sinking. I'm feeling anxious. And so we try to take control of everything. Feeling anxious, and I need to control more, and I need to hold on to everything more. And then we start holding on to everything more, and we don't want to lose control of that. And then the more we try, the more anxious we become, and the chaos is looming, but we're trying to hold on, and we're trying to control. And the thing is, we can't control. Following God is about giving up control. So if you're feeling anxious, overwhelmed, worried, burdened in life, let me give you the secret. The not so secret way to break the cycle of an anxiety-riddled life is understanding that I don't have the power to control, but I do have the power to surrender. I don't have the power to control, but I have the power to surrender. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7, the band's going to come back. And Peter, let me just read it. "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Cast all your anxiety, cast, to throw, to release, to surrender everything to God. See, we don't have the power to control, but we have the power to surrender. The band's going to come back up here, and it's Pentecost Sunday. We're going to spend some time. And I want to challenge a couple of us in this room. First, what do you need to surrender? Maybe you need to surrender your life. Maybe you need to say, "God, I want to get real with you. I want to accept Jesus, his work on the cross, that admit that you're a sinner, admit that God gave his one and only son who died for your sins so you wouldn't have to." Or maybe some of you are in this place right now and you're like, "Pastor Blake, I have a relationship with God, but you're so filled with anxiety. You're just like, I'm at that breaking point. I just need to surrender. I just need to surrender. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know you don't. We don't have the power to control, but we do have the power to surrender." So I'm going to ask you if you'll stand with me. I'm going to invite our prayer team forward. And we're going to enter into a moment. Oh, no. The band gets here. I'm just going to ask you. What do you need to surrender? What do you need to give God? What do you need to say? God, I'm done being in control, but God, I'm in desperate need of you. I'm in desperate need of giving you everything. We're going to a final song. We're going to pray a little bit. Our prayer team is up here. Maybe you need to come and stand with someone. Maybe it's your marriage. You just need to surrender your marriage. Maybe say we're done with trying to do it our way, but we want it his way. Maybe you need to surrender something else in life. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's embellishing things online, impure images that you shouldn't be engaging with. Maybe there's some things you need to surrender your relationships because you know they're not healthy. They're not leading you in the right direction. But we're going to take the time right now. We're just going to say we're going to be in an open posture. God, we are surrendering. And if you need prayer, we want to stand with you. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing and we'll have some final remarks. God, right now, you see this room full of people who are surrendering. Lead us today. Work through our hearts and our minds. We give you it all. We give you control. We give you our lives. In Jesus, your great name, we all say.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or would like to speak to someone concerning this message, we invite you to fill out our online communication card at faithnfm.com. And if you're able, we'd love to have you with us in person on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. or on the best night of the week for Wednesday prayer at 7 p.m. We're at 7101 Bayshore Road in North Fort Myers, just 2 miles west of I-75 at exit 143. Thanks again for listening.